Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
I am trying to think of 60 songs that deal with death.
I'm sure there's some of them.
Yeah.
Seems more like a 70s theme.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm asking Amy J, and she's in Virginia in the production studio. See if you can tell me what year Blood Rock did DOA, Dead on Arrival. And I don't.
That Blood is, Rock.
Blood Rock is one. To call them a one hit one, it is really a gross song.
Half a hit wonder.
Well, I mean, it's PG-13 for topic, not language. Okay.
Okay.
It's an automobile accident.
Oh, 1970.
19. So it didn't quite make the 60s.
They probably wrote it in the 60s.
Well, they had to have written it in the 60s.
And then it would have released in the 70s.
Yeah. So I'm struggling to think of 60 songs that dealt with death. That's really weird. Now that I begin to think about it, Jan and Dean, Dead Man's Curve.
There you go. I've heard that one. You've played that one before.
Oh, have I?
For me.
Yeah. I can't sing that because of the falsetto.
Yes. Please don't.
I've heard you do falsetto, but I can't do falsetto. So we are going this week.
Yeah. Why are we talking about death?
Why are we talking about death? Because we're going to expand upon the book, the resource, this whole idea of churches that are dying. The book became really a runaway bestseller, if he says so immodestly. Autopsy of a Deceased Church. About 300,000 of those books are out there being used by leaders today. It's been incredible. And what we've had all kind of follow-up questions. Amy J was just sharing with us that people have been requesting resources for some time, so we're going to talk about that. But this is going to be autopsy week.
Yes.
And it'll be,
Woo!
Let's see. Rainer just retired. And what is he doing? He's celebrating autopsy week.
Well, we're right at the 5-year anniversary of the publication. Came out in 14.
That's true.
And so it was around this time,
around
2014.
This time. Yeah. So we are intentionally doing a 5th anniversary celebration.
5-year look back.
Yeah. Of autopsy.
Something like that.
Yes.
And we've got some exciting news. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
We'll talk about that.
A new resource with this.
It's a great resource. But before we talk about that, death and Vander Blumen do not go together.
No.
So
they give pastors new life.
There you go.
And churches
new life.
Yes. Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
Okay. As we go through autopsy week, Jonathan, we'll have 3 podcasts this week.
Yes, dealing just like every other week.
But these 3 will all deal with the topic of autopsy.
They tie together.
Dying churches, as well as the blog post that will be concurrent with this week as well. So TomRainer.com, Rainer on Leadership, Revitalize and Replant will be filled with death this week. No, if you Jonathan's facial expressions and body language.
Concerning.
I know, but they can't see the perplexed look on your face. So give Jonathan a perplexed look on his face, because we're going to talk about these things, because there are a lot of churches that are dying. It's worth looking at.
It is. So today, 7 church member attitudes that lead to the death of churches.
I recently did a blog post, and I'm just going to refrain from saying which blog post it is, because I'd basically be calling out some people, but I got to tell you, there were some church members on there that I was just ready to,
really?
to take them off, just not let them, just moderate them away, if you would, kind of death by deletion of something of that nature, because of their attitudes. One was so anti-pastor. Oh man, I didn't have to say anything.
I knew
to
a few
him.
Of those.
Yeah, I didn't have to say anything because some readers actually jumped in and
that's good.
Talked about that. But we're going to talk about member attitudes that lead to the death of churches today.
Oh, man, this first one, the optional church attitude. I think this may be my wife's most frustrating one as a children's minister.
Yeah, yeah.
The optional church attitude.
Yeah, well, church is one choice among many. Church is an activity that has no more priority than anything else. If you want to look at our priorities, the priorities that you will see will be school and work, but not church. Mm. Sometimes the priority will include sports leagues. You ever hear anybody complain about sports leagues and what they do to attendance on particular days?
Yes.
But it's the whole idea, Jonathan, that the gathering of the local church is an optional activity. Nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the early churches do we get this idea that it's one activity among many, that it's something that you just do if you want to do. It is something that you do because you desire to do it. It is not legalistic, but it sure becomes, it becomes disobedient when you do not become a part of the gathered church.
How do you combat that?
You combat it on the front end with high expectations.
Yeah.
Always. Because you bring
now we're getting into I'm a Church Member.
Yeah. that other book, or even the one that preceded that a long time ago, High Expectations.
Yeah, that too. Sitting on the shelf over there.
A lot of those books are sitting on the shelf over there, but they can't see where you're pointing because this is a podcast.
Well, they'll just trust that there's a shelf over there.
Over there. Yeah, wherever there is. So the optional church attitude, and this one is very frustrating. It's a part of Western cultural Christianity that's really hurting the church today, and ultimately it will lead to the death of the church.
All right, number two, the self-centered attitude.
Church is about me. Church is about myself. Church is about I. Me, myself, and I know you didn't think that the subjective then transitioned into...
No, it's the... we're back at I'm a Church Member again.
Yes.
Is this about autopsy?
Yeah, I am a Church Member was about combating those symptoms. It was a prequel, if you will.
Yeah.
If
you're not a church member, your church is going to die.
Your church members,
something
like that. The self-centered attitude is really about, and we'll call this, we'll talk about it in a more broader sense in number six, five and six, but it is about, church is about me. Church is about what I want. Church is about my desires. I was talking to someone who was telling me, don't you think our church is big enough? And I said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, really, we're at a good size. We need to stop. Mm. How are you going to stop? Well, you know, which person are you going to say, no, we're full, no room in this
seat's
end.
Seat's taken.
Don't come in here. But what did that person want? They wanted the church of their size. They wanted the church of their culture.
Comfort.
They wanted their comfort. That is the self-centered attitude, and it is one of those symptomatic issues that is endemic toward death.
And on combating this, that is keeping an outward focus.
Yep.
And it's also, I mean, this requires a lot of times with this one, the self-centered attitude, it requires a heart change on the account of that person.
Yes, yes.
I mean, this is not something they just kind of get over. This is a transformation that has to happen within them. And you have to keep preaching that to them, that it outward focused, gospel centered expectations of church members.
Exactly. And if you don't get them on the front end, it's very difficult at all.
Well, and that's, I think whenever you talk about the self-centered attitude, those are your people who have been in the church all their life or at that church all their life. Rarely do you run into newer Christians or people saved later in life that have that self-centered attitude.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point that those who really realize what Jesus did for them later in life as opposed to when they were kids and have very recollection of before and after.
There's a different
attitude.
Perspective on grace there.
Yeah, that's very good. That is very good. So self-centered attitude is one of those attitudes that are going to lead to death in churches.
All right, number three, dangerous here, the diluted doctrine attitude.
Yeah, this one is becoming more pervasive. It's certainly, and let me say this, it's becoming more pervasive in evangelical churches, which if it continues to go down that trend, by very definition, those evangelical churches are no longer evangelical, because the definition of evangelical is we usually use it as this gospel-centered and Bible-believing. And if churches continue to go down the path of diluted doctrine, they're really going down the path of mainline churches where they've compromised essentials. And we're talking about primary doctrine, but we're also talking about some secondary and tertiary doctrines as well. But we're talking about, is Jesus really the only way of salvation?
Yes.
We have...
Next question.
Is the Bible the Word of God? Did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? In other words, a substitutionary atonement. Is salvation only through Christ and not of our own merit? Those are the types of things that will kill a church, because a church is no longer the church once it has doctrine diluted. This has killed mainline churches, and evangelicals are moving away from evangelicalism, which is, again, I believe, a doctrinal position more than a cultural position, if they start moving away from these central truths of God's Word.
All right. And I guess you combat that with keeping your doctrine pure and not letting it slip.
And not compromising with culture, which we'll talk about in the Numbers 5 and 6 as well. But you stay true to the Word no matter what the cost, no matter what price you have to pay.
All right. The fourth attitude is the routine as idle attitude.
Who was I talking to? I just got back from Florida. Did you know that?
Yes.
I was only gone.
You were there. I was here freezing in Nashville.
I was only gone about 12 days this time. But I'll be
tired life, hashtag.
But I'll be in Nashville 4 days, and then we're traveling
back to Florida
again to enjoy.
Rub it in.
But it's a beautiful day here in Nashville.
It is.
It's nice blue skies, and it's warming up. I was talking to someone, and they were talking about a discussion they were having with their pastor father. And it wasn't one of my sons who was having a discussion with their pastor father. He was talking about how he never could get his dad to understand that Sunday night church is a cultural routine. Hmm. And that they could do some things a little bit differently. And the dad would say, no, this is what we do in churches. Since when, Dad? You know, since when do we do these things? I mean, how far back does that go? And again, before the nastygrams start coming in and telling people, say, I don't like Sunday night services. I don't. But before you get mad at me, think about it. Just think about it for a minute. Sunday night services are a cultural adaptation, and it is part of that routine that we have gotten into, where if we get out of the routine, one of those routines that really can rile people is order of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness gracious! I've seen we never have the offertory at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's nowhere to be found in Scripture. I don't know if the placement of the offertory is anywhere to be found in Scripture. I know that they gave, but I don't think that there was a placement during a worship time. I can't think of any. I can think about one particular case where the offering was not fully disclosed. That was Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah, it didn't work out too well for them.
But I cannot think of anything where it's either described or prescribed. Hmm. But again, those are the things that if you get into the routine, that routine becomes your idol instead of what you have been called to do as a church. So that is one of those membership attitudes that lead to death. You got any particular, routines that come to mind when you begin?
It comes to programming. I mean, this is kind of goes back to the simple church type stuff where people wanted to eliminate things and stopping ministries and programs that didn't always work out well for a lot of pastors and staff.
Yep.
But because the routine is the idol, and we do this and we do this on this day and this on this night and this at this time, and trying to change. I mean, you talked about the order of worship. Try to change the time of the worship service.
Oh, my goodness. Or adding a worship service.
Those kind of things, too.
We won't know everybody.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That's what your groups are for.
Or changing the nomenclature. That's another. I mean, those aren't really routine, but they're the same.
They
type
are
of thing.
Routines. They're things that you've gotten used to.
We have small groups and not Sunday school now.
Mm. Woo! Gosh, what would
Bible study groups instead of Sunday school?
What would Paul say?
I don't know. He'd be like, "What?"
Yes, he would be like, "What?"
So how do you combat that? I mean, it's change leadership, right?
Mm-hmm. And you have to communicate clearly those things that are important, as opposed to those things that are peripheral and they're just the means and not the end.
All right, number five, consumer critique attitude.
Yeah, that is an attitude that many people will come to the church and they will evaluate the church. They treat the church as a movie review. They treat the church as some type of online review. They they're constantly evaluating. They're evaluating the preaching. They're evaluating the music. They're evaluating the time of worship. So they're in a critique motif.
This leads to the ecclesiological buffet or ecclesiastical buffet Christian.
That's good.
Where they're bouncing, well, we like this at this church and this at this church and that at that church.
So exactly.
They just kind of bounce and hop from each one. And
we go to this church.
A little bit of that, a little bit of this.
We go to, that's a really good point there, because the consumer critique, I mean, think of what the digital world has done for the consumer critique, and where you give a, what do we ask here? Go give a rating and review on iTunes or your favorite place.
Yeah.
Where you're,
we haven't done that in a while.
We haven't?
People, y'all need to go give some ratings and reviews at iTunes, please.
All right.
I was a little forward with that, but please.
And if you don't, your church will die. Is that what we're saying?
You said that.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But consumer critique, we live in a critique world right now where everything is evaluated, where everyone has a digital opinion, and you can state that opinion. For example, I was talking to a lady who built this incredible, she's just an entrepreneur, and she started by cleaning houses. She's a single mom. She started by cleaning houses, and then she just kind of hired other people to start cleaning, kind of hired other people. And I said, how did you grow this? And she said, reviews on Home Advisor.
Boom.
She said, I would just go all out. And she said, hey, I'll do this extra cleaning for you if you'll give me an extra good review on Home Advisor. And she built this up by ratings and reviews.
Nice.
Yeah. And so now Rachel, that's her name, not my daughter Rachel, another Rachel.
Daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law. But someone named Rachel just has this incredible cleaning business. And if you want Rachel to clean, just Rachel, book her way ahead of time. Otherwise, you'll get one of her others. But the point is this. We live in that critique motif. And sometimes it spills over into the church where we have that consumer critique.
And that's not just the, how do you combat that? And we've been talking about combating each of these attitudes.
Well, you combat the consumer critique by getting the people outwardly focused.
Yeah.
Because
it goes back to the heart change, just like the second.
Consumer critique is an inward focus.
Yeah.
It's about evaluating a church according to what I want and the things I desire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that this is an autopsy week, so I'm mixing resources right here, overdoing a little bit, but pray and go is a resource that pushes people beyond this inward type of focus, beyond this consumer critique.
All right. Number six, consumer embracing attitude.
A little bit different. It's just a nuance of a difference. One is you are evaluating, and another is you are requesting. I want this for myself.
This is the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yes. Yes. You're
people pleasing pastor.
I want the following programs. I want the following ministries. I. And so, whereas a consumer critique, you're evaluating other things that are going on. Consumer embracing, now you are demanding those things that will begin to take place for you and yourself.
Now, this is a tough one. How do you combat that?
Well, again, anything with a consumer attitude, whether it's critique or embracing, is an inward focus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being redundant.
Yeah.
But anytime we can get ourselves outwardly focused, we're combating any of these consumer inwardly focused attitudes.
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that outward focus changes the attitude and the culture of a church.
It does. It does. I was talking to a pastor last week. He's talking about the not just the transition, but the transformation of his church once they started going outwardly focused. And by the way, he said he lost some people as well.
Yeah.
Because they were there for the consumer aspect of the church. And they said, well, if you're not going to do this for us, we're not here for other people.
Beth Howe dropped my wife dropped a ditty of wisdom last night.
Yeah.
She's like, not every subtraction is a loss and not every addition is a gain.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I'm sure she got that from somewhere or whatever, but
probably from this podcast.
We were talking about similar type things where the bar got raised.
Yeah.
And people left.
Yeah.
And that subtraction wasn't really a loss.
Nope. Because usually they get replaced with people who are there for the higher bar.
Yes.
And it becomes a much stronger church or ministry overall.
All right. The final attitude is the death rather than give attitude.
Yeah, that happens.
This is over my dead body while I do X.
Well, and it comes true.
Yeah.
And I've looked at members of churches whose churches are dying and they know they're dying. And I said, are you willing to make these changes so that your church does not die? No, we'd rather die.
This is the change or die.
Yeah. And they choose the latter, not the former. They actually volitionally choose to die. The first time I encountered this, I was a banker. And I don't know why this particular church asked me to. They wanted me to come consult when I was a banker, essentially.
So you've been doing this like since day one.
But
you came out of the womb church consulting.
But,
okay, maybe not.
But I was a pastor in, I was a banker in Anniston, Alabama. And I remember the church so well. I can't even remember the name of the church. And that they asked me to just, hey, you're at this vibrant church and you seem to have a good analytical mind. Can you tell us what's going on here? And so I went to that church, actually one of the first churches I preached.
Wow.
I'd preached at a Methodist church before that, but it was the first Baptist church I'd ever preached. And I started asking them questions, and then they would say, you know, we're probably going to die and we're fine with that. I mean, they articulated that.
Wow.
And they did. They did.
There you go.
I preached the church to death. Well, it didn't die immediately, but this was a church that volitionally chose to die. So here on Autopsy Week, we are looking at 7 church member attitudes that can and likely lead to the death of churches. And we have an announcement.
We do.
So, yes.
Got a new resource.
Yep.
The Autopsy of a Deceased Church Video Study Guide.
This one is way past due.
Yes.
I mean,
we have gotten so many questions over the years. Is there a study guide? Is there this?
Well, after 300,000 readers, I think it's about time to have a study guide. If your church has already gone through it, it'd be a good time to review it. Actually, Autopsy is that kind of book where you can go through it every year and it brings, you know, fresh perspective.
Churches change.
They do change.
Cultures change. Churches change. And what you read and how you saw your church a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago is different now.
And we are making this available through the special on the podcast for $47. And you got all the information in the show notes on this podcast. But that's one of the things that we're doing during this so-called Autopsy Week. We're introducing this resource. You remember some of the things? What is it? Seven sessions?
It's 7 sessions. There's study questions after each session. Goes through the book so you can, you know, have people assign reading, you know, read 2 chapters, 3 chapters a week. And these are little chapters. If you've seen Autopsy, it's a very small book. It's only about 100 pages, if that. I think it's about 90 pages. It may be around that, somewhere in that range. But very small book, easy to read, and walks you through these different situations of why churches die. And then gives you, at the end of the book too, it gives you a chance to self-evaluate where you are along 3 real stages. And it's very helpful, and you can find out more about the video series at tomrainer.com/autopsy-video.
Okay.
All one word.
Well, I cannot tell you how many questions I've gotten about Autopsy since it was first published, and I attempted to answer the most frequently asked questions through this video series. So I love doing it. It's a fairly brief series, but at the same time, it's a fairly brief book, and this will be a good opportunity for many of your churches just to take this next step.
Yeah. So check that out at tomrainer.com/autopsy-video.
And check out Midwestern Seminary, our sponsor.
Yeah. Midwestern Seminary has their Doctorate of Ministry degree program. The DMIN is a advanced degree program preparing students for leadership in local churches and denominational service. It's also fully attainable in a hybrid format, which means you don't have to move to pursue the degree. You can learn more about the Midwestern Doctorate of Ministry degree program and its hybrid format at mbts.edu/DMIN. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Really excited about this resource. It is a resource that I think can really help your church. 70% of all churches need revitalization. So you don't want to go from a need of revitalization to a path of death. And this can be prevented.
Yeah.
So we urge you to look at it.
Now, you know, training your volunteers and leaders is important in your church, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? That's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With their library of 3,000 ministry training videos, the work has been done for you, and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. It's training you can trust, and each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. You can even get training on Dr. Rainer's book, I Am a Church Member, and create a new members class. You can also customize any training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now Ministry Grid has one plan with one price that gives you unlimited access to to train your entire church. Head to ministrygrid.com for more information. Once again, that is ministrygrid.com. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainier on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainier.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.